Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sisters Talk Radio. Awaken the feminine power that glows in your heart. There are just certain heart-to-heart conversations you can only have with your sisters. The conversations you crave when you need to reconnect. Sisters Talk Radio explores our feminine power through headline topics and what women are talking about. Here are your hosts, Mona and Savitri.
Welcome to Sisters Talk Radio. This is Mona, and Savitri is not with us today, but I have another co-host sitting with me, and that's my sister and friend, Joy Alegria. Welcome, Joy.
Thank you, Mona. It's wonderful to be here.
Great. Well, listen, before we get started, I want to give everybody a heads up. This show is based in Rhode Island, back in Rhode Island, and as you know, there's a big storm coming in. So if for any reason there's an interruption in our service or they have to break in for whatever reason, just know that that's the reason why we would have any technical difficulty. But we're going to assume that we're great for the hour because we have a very interesting show today and a very, very special guest. Our topic today is anorexia and bulimia. And I have a wonderful person. Her name is Leanna Rosenman. Leanna, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Let me tell you a little bit about Leanna. She is the co-founder of Project Heal. And this is a nonprofit that she developed with a friend. The purpose is to help people learn how to eat properly, to accept and live. It's a nonprofit that raises money for people with eating disorders who are not able to afford treatment after. And she actually started this after she herself recovered from anorexia when she was only 15 years old. To date, Project Heal has raised over $220,000 and has sent 7 applicants to treatment. There's 7 scholarships this organization has given. And all of these people are doing extremely well in their recovery today. And in addition, Project Heal promotes healthy body image and self-image or self-esteem in hopes of preventing future eating disorders. Leanna is 21 years old, and this is an incredible accomplishment for only 21 years of age. She's currently a full-time student at Hofstra University, majoring in education. And I just cannot say enough good things about Leanna, about what you've created here. So welcome so much to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are so welcome. Well, I want to start and ask you, what drove you into anorexia?
So there are multiple things that went into my eating disorder. Each eating disorder is different, but for me, there was different things. One was being, growing up, I was very into sports. I played soccer, basketball. Swimming was the thing I was most passionate about. But in around 7th, 8th grade, well, especially 7th grade, it was around my bat mitzvah, and I wanted to lose a few pounds, nothing more than 5 pounds. But I can look back and say that growing up, I definitely did have the type A personality. And I mean, still to this day, I can consider myself a perfectionist, but I use that in good ways, like Project Heal. But definitely very competitive, and not really with anyone else, but mostly myself. I had to be the best at everything. I had to be the best soccer player, the best at school. And a lot of that drove into my eating disorder, but definitely the environment also played a role. My brother had the opposite problem than me, and he would overeat. So growing up, it was always the whole thing around food was always eat this, not that. And it was just not a very good environment in regards to eating, and I didn't have great role models for that. So with all those components, it kind of just spiraled into an eating disorder. It was a very slow process at first, but once I was in it, it was very hard to get out of it.
So what do you think was the emotion or what underneath that perfection was driving you? I don't know if you can answer that, but what was the emotion that you felt most of the time?
The emotion I felt most of the time was definitely unhappy, depressed, and kind of worthless. I really didn't feel like I was deserving of anything. And even in my eating disorder, I remember even labeling myself as being anorexic and nothing more. I really didn't define myself as in any other ways but my eating disorder.
So how did pushing yourself into this condition help you feel happy?
You mean through recovery?
Or just while you were, you know, because obviously this was the, I know that's kind of a strange question, but you're unhappy, so this is playing out in your life with this situation. So in a situation like that, a lot of times it's you get something from it. So would you say that there was an element of it that made, and happy might not be the right word, but was satisfying to you in some way that perpetuated it?
At first, there was definitely that gratification where I set a goal and reached it. And that, I mean, it's kind of, I always relate it to a drug addiction. And when someone is using a drug and they get that feeling of being high, but that highness only lasts for a few seconds. And for me, I stepped on the scale. I had this number in my head of what I wanted to be. I would step on the scale. It would be that number. It would go lower and lower. But each time, that feeling would only stay for a minute. And then I was like, on to the next. Like, I have to make this number go lower. So that feeling only lasted for a few minutes, and I always strive for that feeling. But it's not obtainable.
Wow.
And also, I wasn't feeling anything. Eating disorders is a way of coping with something, an unhealthy way of coping with something. So by not eating and restricting my calories, I was numbing myself and numbing myself from the things that I felt like I didn't control. When looking at it now, my eating disorder had complete control over me. And it's a complete fate. Like mind trick all the time. I mean, I had very, very irrational thoughts, but my eating disorder really made me believe that they were 100% rational. Like, I remember I had this thought that touching a water bottle would make me gain weight, and I truly believed that.
Wow. Wow. At what point, when your thought is so deep into this, at what point did you know you were in trouble?
I really didn't. That's the scary thing. I didn't know how bad it was. And I guess the point where I reached that I saw that I needed to change was when I was in the hospital for suicide watch. My parents took away my measuring cup and they also took away my cell phone. And this was when I was like 13. 13 or 14 years old, and I was more upset that they took away my measuring cup than my phone. And I guess that's where I was like, what am I doing? Like, I can't measure myself worth through my food, my calories, and my weight. And I began to really work on the reasons why I was using my eating disorder to control things.
Wow. How did you reach out, or what? Did you have any kind of support at all, or was there something that triggered your thoughts to, like, start to want to get better? And what did you reach out to start feeding yourself better information?
I had a great support system, and I think that's the number one thing. I went through various therapists, and it's really important to get a really good treatment team in place, a therapist, a nutritionist, a doctor, and my family, my friends. I mean, going through this eating disorder, I did lose a lot of my friends. People I hurt people. I didn't know how to treat people nicely because I wasn't able to treat myself nicely. But my family was very, very supportive. And I also had a great support system in school. I mean, I was in 9th, 10th grade when I didn't even go to lunch. And one of my teachers had lunch with me every day and would call my parents if I didn't eat lunch that day.
Wow.
So I had a very good support system. And the thing I realized is that I have to be, just as they're great supporters, I have to be as great of a supporter of myself.
Oh, really, that's very
root
wise.
For myself.
Now, tell me about your friend Christina, who is in with your Project Heal. How did you meet her?
So Christina and I met when we were in treatment in 2006. She actually went after our stay, went on to more hospitalizations. She was actually in the hospital in her freshman year for a total of 7 months. So we really weren't that connected after I left treatment. But about a year later, we reconnected, and we just had a really strong bond. And it's something to that our treatment team was kind of leery about, is because you can pick up other people's symptoms and things like that and feed off of each other. But there was something different about our friendship. We were very, very motivated, and we didn't let each other use our symptoms or excuses, and we pushed each other. And I mean, I don't know where I would be without her. And it was just a very great friendship. And I mean, we're best friends to this day. And
oh my gosh,
yeah,
it's an incredible story. Was her anorexia, was the need for perfection driving hers like it drove yours?
Definitely. I mean, there are other things that played into hers as well. But in eating disorders, you see it a lot of the time that there are these genetic dispositions. Like, you can't develop an eating disorder per se through, like, genetics, but there is the type A personality, the depression, the anxiety, the OCD. You see a lot of those when people are getting treated for eating disorders. So those things will manifest into an eating disorder if something else triggers it, whether it be family problems or school problems or being bullied. There's just many things that trigger those to become an eating disorder.
Is there, now there's over 8 million people in the United States alone that have eating disorders, which is incredible. The amount
right.
of people. So there's anorexia and bulimia. Those are usually two go hand in hand. Is there a difference of people that lean towards anorexia versus bulimia, or how what would drive one into one versus the other?
Well, anorexia is more of an eating disorder that is more of a fear of. Well, they both have a lot of similarities, but definitely there's different symptoms that go into bulimia. So people with bulimia are more impulsive. So they also will overexercise. The same thing with anorexia. People do tend to overexercise. But just because I know anorexia, that I've been through it, and I know people who have bulimia as well, they're really, a lot of times people do go back and forth as well.
Wow, that must be so hard on a body.
Yeah.
Going back and forth. So obviously both of them have a fear. Fear is underlying that, and it's just masked in different ways. So as you and Christina came through this treatment together, how did you come about the thought that you would create a, it's time to break? We'll be right back, Sisters Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Sisters Talk Radio. Awaken the feminine power that glows in your heart. There are just certain heart-to-heart conversations you can only have with your sisters. The conversations you crave when you need to reconnect. Mona and Savitri explore our feminine power as they look at headline topics and what women are talking about. Join us on Sisters Talk Radio, Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern. Only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Sisters Talk Radio. We got so involved in the conversation, didn't realize it was time to take a break, but we're back. And today we're talking with Leanna Rosenman, who is the co-founder of Project Heal. And this is a nonprofit that deals with anorexia and bulimia. And I want to read you a couple of interesting facts that she provided me with. 78% of 18-year-old girls are unhappy with their bodies. That is just shocking to me. 78% of 18-year-old girls are unhappy with their bodies. 81% of 10-year-old girls are afraid of being fat. 30% of women choose an ideal body shape that is 20% underweight, and an additional 44% choose an ideal body shape that is 10% underweight. We are just nutty as a nation, as women, on how we see these bodies. It's incredible. And with this thinness, I want to read this one last statistic. Here it is. Oh, yes. 1 in 10,000 females naturally, without dieting, meet model thin dimensions. Get this. Only one in 10,000 females fit that image that's on the cover of a magazine. That's how distorted we are in our thinking. Leanna, welcome back, and it's no wonder we have this as an epidemic.
Yeah.
Among girls. How are you reaching girls to help them? How are you getting the how do you promote Project Heal?
Definitely when we go into high schools and middle schools, we talk about how the media shapes people's body image and how it plays a role. The thing through also is through Facebook. We have a great Facebook page that we post articles about the photoshopping and the different tools that one might go through to meet this quote-unquote perfect image. And it's just, it's really scary to think. I remember actually there was an article about Miley Cyrus who was on the cover of a magazine, and she, after the fact, went on like Twitter or something like that and was like, I wish I was the person that was on the cover of the magazine because I never looked like that. So even celebrities are striving for this image that doesn't exist and will never exist.
It's just, I mean, it's mind-blowing to me how we have just gotten so far off base of what a body image should be. And I was talking with some friends this morning, and it's like, where did this concept come from that meant that you know, we have to be one shape? And it a lot of times has to do with, you know, how attractive we are to the male population. For lack of a better word, I want to turn this around is really what I want to do, because nobody fits this image very well. Obviously, 1 in 10,000 isn't great. So how do you find the girls react when you bring your information into the schools? What are the responses that you get?
They're always very positive. Both Christina and I are very confident in ourselves. And we really stress that confidence is beauty, and really that there's no beauty, there's no mold for beauty, and it's really embracing yourself. Actually, one of our slogans is imperfections, imperfectly perfect. So really imperfections make you beautiful. And I mean, I joke with my friends all the time about things that make me, and it's really that I can be with my friends and be completely who I am and not be ashamed of it. And I think people really look up to that. And that is really what's beautiful, and embracing everything. And even for me, I think like giving back to people and really just paying it forward is the most beautiful thing that anyone could do.
How did you get the idea to do a nonprofit?
Yeah, definitely a crazy thing as high school students, but it was something that we needed to do for ourselves and for the million of people struggling with eating disorders. Project Heal, the idea grew out of everything that Christine and I wanted when we were in treatment. We go to different hospital programs and we visit different people struggling with eating disorders in programs, and they're just amazed at what we do, and they're like, when I get better, like, I want to help, and I want to be involved in Project Heal. But the ideas, Project Heal has three missions, one being to raise money for people with eating disorders who can't afford treatment. Treatment costs about $30,000 a month. And
oh, my God.
Only 1 in 10 people will receive treatment, and 80% of those who have get the care will only stay for a few days or even like a week because their insurance won't cover it. So we've sent 7 applicants to treatment, the youngest being 12, the oldest being 35. And it just scares me to think, like, if Project Heal didn't exist, what would happen to these 7 beautiful, strong women who are now regaining their lives and going back to who they were and becoming stronger than ever. Our second goal is to promote healthy body image and self-esteem by showing people that confidence is beauty and that you're really, beauty is not a mold and you don't have to look like a cover of a magazine. And our third mission is to show that recovery is possible, because when we were going through this illness, there was really no picture of recovery and what you can do with life after recovery. And Christine and I are very open to our lives and what we do now. I mean, we're both living our dreams of going to college, and I'm pursuing my dream of becoming a teacher. So people really can move past their eating disorder and regain their life and have a life free of an eating disorder. And oh, we really want to be those role models for everyone.
Absolutely. Well, only 21 years old, I would say you have your entire life ahead of you. Tell me about your brother. Has he been, obviously you've healed from this. How has this influenced your brother since he had the opposite eating issue?
Right. Well, I've learned not to internalize his issues and really just worry about myself. Because the only thing you can control is your actions and your thoughts. So I really stepped back and stopped worrying about him and really just worried about myself, and realized that when he's taking care of himself now, and he's older than me, and he's pursuing his dreams and living his life, and I'm very proud of everything he has done. And our relationship has definitely grown, because we both didn't know how to help each other, even though we probably had a lot of those similar feelings. But it's just great to see both of us are living happy lives.
Wow. So how have your what's the role that your parents play now in Project Heal?
They're just supporters. Christina and I mostly, we have a board of directors, volunteers, but our parents are just very supportive and really take whatever we ask them to do, they'll help us. But they try to let us do what we want to do with it. But they're great.
So what does treatment look like? So when you get, let's say someone gets a scholarship, what does that treatment look like?
Well, there's various different treatment centers and various different approaches. So,
oops, it's time again. Hold on, we'll be right back.
Come alive and shine with the Alive and Shine radio show with Adil and Savitri. Widen your perspective, Learn to heal yourself and clarify your power of choice so that you feel truly alive and shine. The Alive and Shine Radio Show is your how-to guide for creating a life in which your dreams come true. Listen live each Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW or at AliveAndShineShow.com.
Welcome back to Sisters Talk Radio. This is Mona and Joy, and we are interviewing Leanna Rosenman, who is the co-founder of the Project Heal, which is a nonprofit designed to help anyone who has an eating disorder, but particularly anorexia and bulimia. So before we start, I want to read you two more facts that Leanna was kind enough to provide me. 47% of girls in between 5th grade and 12th grade reported wanting to lose weight because of a magazine picture. 47%. 69% of girls in between grades 5 and 12 reported that these magazine pictures influenced their idea of a perfect body shape. And Hollywood's obscenely idealized images of female models have a 23-inch waist, which is the same circumference as a soccer ball. It's just nuts. And so, Leanna, tell us about, right before we were going to go to break, we were talking about treatment. So girls that are listening to this, or anyone listening to this, would hopefully be open enough to asking for help if they knew that the treatment wasn't scary. So right. What does treatment look like?
So there's different forms of treatment. There's the treatment team, which usually is a doctor, a nutritionist, a therapist, and a psychologist. That's usually where a lot of people start, and it's a great starting point. But sometimes people need more than that. Some people need date treatment, so you're at a hospital and you're there, and you have all your meals there, and you have different groups being nutritional therapy, family therapy, group therapy, so you're with other people who are struggling. There's also residential treatment, which is a higher treatment, and you live there, and you have all your meals there, and you are restricted from a lot of different things through your really communication with the outside world, and I think it's really important for that because you need to focus on your recovery and that being your number one priority. The problem is with insurance. So oftentimes insurance will not cover it, but through our scholarship program, we're able to send about 2 applicants to treatment a year. But treatment is, it's very hard, but it's worth it because
yes.
It's either you're sick for your rest of your life or you regain your life. It's probably the hardest thing that I ever had to do, but I am so glad that I put the time in and really worked on myself.
Absolutely. So what type of treatment did you have?
I did date treatment, so I had all my meals there, I had different therapy, we had cooking classes, we had yoga, just a very therapeutic environment and really didn't have to worry about the outside world and really just focused on getting better. But for me, the outpatient with talking with one-on-one with a therapist really helped me. But the thing is, for someone to get better, you have to be at a certain weight for your mind to be able to function. So I went to therapy for the first few years and was not at a healthy weight and was talking about a lot of the things, but my mind wasn't able to comprehend everything that she was telling me until I was at a healthy weight and could really rationalize things.
So if you're in residential, that means you're there for the day and you come home in the evening?
For day treatment. Residential is different. So you can, at residential, you can be there for a month being the minimum. You can be there for a year.
Okay. So how do you do school during
for
that time,
school,
or could you?
I did do school. There was a part of the day that was only an hour. So, I mean, to be honest, school was not a priority, and I mean, even when I was in school with struggling with an eating disorder, I wasn't able to perform at the ability I would if I was healthy. So school kind of was not the focus at all. And my teachers were very, very understanding. And once I got back to school, they were able to help me and tutor me and get me up to speed with the rest of the class.
How is your relationship with food now?
It's great. I love food, and it's very healthy, and I eat what I want when I want, and I don't think about anything relating to my food, my body, my weight. I mean,
that
yes,
is
I'm
amazing.
A girl and have the, like, oh my God, my hair, especially on today when it's snowing, but it's only a second, and then I'm just like, okay.
So how much has your focus on your appearance changed since you've been through this amazing experience? How do you see yourself? What do you feel when you look in the mirror now?
To be honest, I don't even really look in the mirror. I will occasionally, but there's no need for it because I know what's most important is what's on the inside and what I have to offer the world, and being just me and accepting that is what I've learned to do.
So do you have a different peer group now? How did you get yourself back into regular life where you were, you know, now mixing with people that weren't part of your treatment program? How does that get handled?
So my friends, and how has that shifted?
Yeah, or how did you get yourself back into daily life? I mean, I'm sure they give you guidelines for that, but, you know, now you're going to be mixing with friends that, you know, didn't go through that incredible experience with you. So how do you keep your newly found confidence intact as you mix in with the world?
Well, at first, after coming home from treatment, it was definitely hard. There are a lot of misconceptions about eating disorders, and it's really, in high school, I didn't even know when I got diagnosed that I struggled with it. I was like, no, I don't have an eating disorder because someone with eating disorder doesn't eat. And I had that misconception, but someone with eating disorder does eat. It's just not enough to sustain your body. And I was guilty of that. And my friends didn't know the right or wrong thing to say. And I mean, they're really looking back at it, there really is no right or wrong thing to say, because when I internalized everything, and when my eating disorder made me spin those comments into something negative. But it's the comments, a lot of times I got comments like, if you just ate, everything would be better. And that comment was not very helpful for me because it's not about the food. But I really did have a great group of friends that began to learn, like, it's not about the food, and they were very supportive if I needed to talk to them, and they were always around. But my group of friends now has shifted, too, and I think when you go through something like this, you value friendship and honesty and things like that so much more. And
absolutely.
I can say I have the most positive, beautiful people in my life today, and I am, in a way, I mean, people might ask me sometimes, like, if you could do your life over and go back to middle school and not go through the path of an eating disorder, would you? And to be honest, I would do it all over again. I would go through an eating disorder all over again because it's made me so strong and really grounded.
Beautiful. So if you, let's say somebody listening knows somebody that has an eating disorder or suspects there is, how can they be a good, how could they be helpful to that person? What do you say to somebody that you think might be struggling with that? Right, you know, because it's so easy to be judgmental and just say, hey, you need to get treatment or you should eat that. What would be the kindest thing somebody could say to someone?
Definitely be supportive, but also know the boundaries, because eating disorders do have the highest mortality rate of all mental illnesses, and they are very serious. I lost one of my friends that I was in treatment with over the summer, and it really is a very serious thing, and you have to know when to get other people involved. So whether it be telling their parents that you're concerned about it or telling a teacher at the school, it's very important to get someone involved and not just be the only one that knows. But also, if someone's struggling, it's important to not accuse them of anything. Use I statements. Say, "Maybe I'm concerned about you because you refuse to eat your breakfast or lunch," or "It makes me afraid to hear you throwing up." Instead of saying, "You're not doing this and you're not doing that," or "You're out of control," it just puts the person on the defense and makes them feel bad about themselves, which they already are. And avoid just giving the simplest solutions, like if you stop, everything would be okay, and just eat like a normal person. Those comments aren't helpful for anyone, but it's really important to get someone involved, and there is hope, and there is recovery, and there is
fantastic
eating disorder.
Fantastic. We're going to continue this part of the conversation. We're actually going to take a break on time this time. You're listening to Sisters Talk Radio, and we will be right back after this commercial break.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Welcome back to the last segment of Sisters Talk Radio. This hour goes by so fast, and we are continuing our conversation with Leanna Rosenman, who is the co-founder of the Project Heal. So, Leanna, how can somebody find you that's listening?
Sure. We have a great Facebook page if you search Project Heal. Our website is www.theprojectheal.org. Also, we have 30 chapters throughout the United States, and we also have chapters in Canada. So there are opportunities for involvement, and they're at different universities, different states. And we also do have a Twitter, The Project Heal.
Beautiful. Well, listen, this is you're hearing this show live on the East Coast, and Leanna is in New York. So if you're listening and you know of someone or would like to bring this project to your school to have her do a presentation, or someone from her organization, please do yourself a favor, because with 8 million people having this, some type of eating disorder, it's, you never know who you're going to touch. And in fact, Joy, who I want to bring on, who's been listening to this, Joy, you had an interesting response to the website.
I did. Thank you, Mona. It was because I never considered myself as having the challenges that Leanna's brought up on the show today, but reading through the website, it brought a whole nother level of awareness to, well, do I have a truly healthy relationship with my body and with food? And it's one of those things that I recommend anyone, even if you think you're perfectly fine, go through the website and use it as an opportunity to look at yourself in a whole new way and realize there is it, you know, do you truly love yourself, or do you lean on food in an unhealthy way? And so I just wanted to thank Leanna and Christina for that as well, because I'm someone who hasn't had that challenge, but it brings forth an opportunity to look at yourself and love yourself and be the best you can be in a whole different way.
It's so true, because I had the same reaction when I was doing research for the show and I was reading the website, and just even reading your story, Leanna, it's very well written and it's incredibly wise, and it really does, you know, make you aware of your relationship with food, whether you have an outward expression of anorexia or bulimia or not. It's it's basically how you fuel this body. And just reading your story triggers a great deal of self-conversation around that. So thank you for taking time to put together such a beautiful story for yourself and also Christina. And I just want to touch back on this conversation right before the break of talking to people that you suspect might be suffering from this. And I just really want to make sure that if we leave nothing else, that people have awareness of how to speak with those people.
Definitely. So to touch on those points again and some other points, realize the complexity of the illness, then that it's not a snap of the fingers and you're better. Just because the person goes through treatment doesn't mean that they are come out as a brand new person, that they're fixed. It's not that kind of illness, and you can't make your friend stop the behavior, but you can listen and you can try to understand it and offer support. And it's really important to remind the person struggling of their strengths, because like I said, I define myself as Liana the anorexic, and I really didn't think that I was worthy of anything. So just point out what they're good at, and really, if it's a healthy thing, such as like painting or writing, really encourage them to pursue those dreams and not be isolated and be controlled by their eating disorder, and really push them, because for me, I was very isolated and withdrawn, and I'd always come up with excuses of why I couldn't go to the movies, because after or in the movies, it would be centered around food, and I always try to avoid those situations. So really try to push them to hang out more and really get their mind off things, because that's something I definitely needed. And really just be supportive and show how much you believe in them. And because there really is no elevator to recovery, but the person has to make the steps, and you can take the steps with them, but ultimately they have to decide if this is the path they want, and it's the best journey, although it's hard, but recovery is possible, and I wouldn't be here without the cheerleaders I had in my life.
So if you suspect somebody is suffering from this, if you as a friend said, you should go look at this website, would that be overstepping bounds, or would that be helpful?
No, it's definitely helpful. I had a lot of people say, my friend told me to check out your website, and they'll buy our merchandise, and even the purple bracelet that we have, it's Project Heal, and has a little butterfly. Even that small reminder that recovery is possible, and we're very open to talking to people who are struggling or friends who are struggling. We're very here to mentor people and really help them through the process, even finding a treatment team. We have a lot of resources that we can offer, and even becoming involved in our chapters has helped a lot of people through volunteering and attending our events. We have an upcoming one actually in June. It's going to be our 5th anniversary of Project Heal, so it's our big deal. It's going to be in New York City at the Copacabana, so it's going to be a very upbeat night, showing people to embrace their beauty and to celebrate themselves and celebrate their lives.
Great. I saw that on your website that you're going to – is it Kelly Ripa that's going to be there?
Diana Williams.
Diana Williams. And you've also met President Clinton, the former President
Yes,
Clinton. How did that come about?
We went to the Clinton Global Initiative, and it was a great experience. We learned a lot about other organizations and how to improve our own, and we did have the opportunity to meet with Bill Clinton, President Clinton.
That's just incredible. Well, listen, I know we're getting close to the end of this show. Is there, with just a minute or two, what would you love, if somebody's listening to this show that might have an eating disorder, what would be the final words you'd love for them to be left with?
Definitely to not give up. I definitely lost sight of what mattered, and not to identify yourself with your illness, because you're so much more, and that there really is help and you're really worthy of life after an eating disorder, and you can live a beautiful life, and you don't have to be prisoned in your own body.
That's exactly right. Listen, you also sent a beautiful thing above Love Your Body Day, and I just wanted briefly, here's what you can do. Instead of the price of the price of breast implant surgery, that would be the equal to a college education. This is just different ways that you can use your money, because we can get so focused on our outward appearance. Instead of buying a pair of uncomfortable shoes, that you could buy gas for a 1,200-mile road trip. Instead of a pair of designer jeans, buy yourself a lift ticket at a ski resort. Instead of a set of acrylic nails, go take yourself to an amusement park. And instead of buying and focusing on a breast-enhancing bra for that next date, go take yourself for an afternoon canoe trip. And lastly, instead of focusing on that next tube of lipstick, go make a long-distance call to a friend. So just take a look at your day and see where you're focusing your time and energy on, and see how you could use it differently. Would that be a fair way to say, Leanna?
Definitely.
Fantastic. Well, listen, we're running out of time here, Leanna. Thank you so, so much for being our guest on this show. And I think we're going to have to do part two of this show, because there's so much more we didn't touch upon. But thank you so much for being our guest. Enjoy the snow, and we will be back with you next week. Thank you. You're listening to Sisters Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Sisters Talk Radio with Mona and Savitri. Listen live each Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern to Sisters Talk Radio. Awaken the feminine power that glows in your heart, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Mona and Savitri, visit SistersTalkRadio.com.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour. Transformation Talk Radio showcases a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, education, and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Our hosts bring together some of the planet's most preeminent and visionary change makers, best-selling authors, motivational speakers, leading-edge scientists and futurists, environmentalists and educators, world-renowned spiritual leaders, inventors, filmmakers, artists, mystics, and healers that are stimulating and supporting individual and collective growth. Get ready to create positive cultural shifts on Transformation Talk Radio. Join us in making a meaningful difference in the world. TransformationTalkRadio.com. That's TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think the Dr. Pat show's the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back, because we've just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.
Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new
paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, transformationtalkradio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one.
Transformation Talk Radio.
Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, transformationtalkradio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that.
Love is officially in the air. Transformation Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Show is showing you love all year long, not just for Valentine's Day. Dr. Pat, known for her Pay It Forward manifesto, is now joined by the hosts on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm in love, baby, with Transformation Talk Radio. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. Amazing host, incredible guest. Get your groove on. Feel the love, be the love.
Can't get enough of your love, pain. Lord, some things I can't get used to.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think the Dr. Pat shows the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back because we've just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio.
What do the masters want to say about well-being, about their lives, about the world? What is it the masters say that we are called to do or be?
Simply to believe.
believe in yourself, believe in hope, believe in God, believe. Just simply believe. And the rest will follow.
Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio. Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transforming the world one listener at a time.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Don't touch that dial. We'll be beginning a brand new show at the top of the hour with one of our amazing hosts, Transformation Talk Radio. Talk radio to change the world. Transformation Talk Radio is designed to attract people like you and like me. Millions of people across the globe are looking to up-level their lives. If you have a message and want to take it out on Transformation Talk Radio, make sure you give us a call, 1-800-930-2819, or send an email to host@transformationtalkradio.com and get ready to host your own show on one of the fastest-growing transformative networks in the world. Transformation Talk Radio.
Stop. Get out of that car. Stop living your life in the passenger seat. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com and let us help you drive.
Transform your life.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, and you're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Please enjoy the music while we reconnect you to the current show programming. And again, thank you so much for tuning in to Transformation Talk Radio. Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, and you're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Please enjoy the music while we reconnect you to the current show programming. And again, thank you so much for tuning in to Transformation Talk Radio.
Sometimes you get a little rain. Sometimes you feel a little pain. No one that we need to blame. Deep inside, we're all the same.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, and you're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Please enjoy the music while we reconnect you to the current show programming. And again, thank you so much for tuning in to Transformation Talk Radio. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.